Hello, spookies. What's up?
Yeah, what's up, spookies?
Please respond. We will not continue the episode.
We're just going to wait until we hear back. What's up, Scott Wallace?
Not a whole lot. Last time we did this, we did the Melt movies, and you were a bit sick, and now you might notice I sound a bit sultry.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You sound good, though. You wear it well.
Thank you. Oh, you know what, though?
What?
While I was sick, I watched a Very Brady sequel, my favorite film, and I'm obsessed with this. There's a lot of sexual tension between Marsha and Greg in that movie.
Yes.
And I'm obsessed with the way Christine Taylor says, like, he says, "Hey, Marsha," and she's like, "Yes, Greg."
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That fucking hairbrushing scene. That's a weird movie.
It's a great movie.
I hope it made you feel better.
Yeah, it did. It really did. How are you? What's up?
I am still Crystal Pettit.
I'm Scott Wallace, by the way.
And this is Spooky Bitch Gang. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm hanging in there. I'm still kind of sick. Like, I don't really get better.
It's so
shit. I don't get better anymore. I think I'm going to be like this forever. But that's okay. That's fine. I watched a movie. My voice is going to sound a bit kind of fucked, but that's okay.
That's fine.
It normally sounds fucked in a different way. I'm a bit self-conscious about it. I think it's kind of I sound a bit like a dumb bitch. Do you reckon? But I'm not a dumb bitch.
No, you're not.
I promise.
I don't think you sound like a dumb bitch. Sometimes you say, like, big words.
Thanks. I watched Glorious.
Tell me about Glorious.
It's on Shudder at the moment, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, yes.
And I was so fucking psyched. Firstly, everyone's talking about it.
I haven't seen anyone talking about it.
That's so weird.
Am I moving in the wrong circles, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. It's a movie that Rebecca McKendry made of Fangoria fame. She is, like, just a horror icon. Like, mm-hmm. She writes incredible pieces about horror film, and she's really fucking cool, and I think she's just, like, a really dope lady. So I was really excited that she made, firstly, a movie, and then I was excited that it was getting really, really good reviews. It's got J.K. Simmons in it. It's got some Australian man. Sorry to that man. I don't remember his fucking name.
Is it John Jarrett?
It's not John Jarrett.
Well, who cares?
Hashtag cancelled.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
It's that young guy. I feel like it's maybe the guy who plays Charles Manson all the time, but I could be wrong.
All the time?
Yeah. It's like he keeps playing him in different movies. Am I making this up? I'm pretty sure he's playing Charles Manson in, like, a couple different movies.
I want to say that sounds like something Caleb Landry Jones would do, but he's not Australian.
It's not him, but I get what you mean. This guy's got more of a normal hot vibe.
Like Charles Manson.
Yeah. Fuck, I really should have looked at this man's name. But it's called Glorious because the premise is it's a movie set in a rest stop bathroom, where a man is hungover and kind of recovering from a breakup.
I just realized why it's called Glorious.
Yeah. So he's pretty upset about this breakup, and he goes into this bathroom stall, and there's a glory hole, really elaborately decorated, like, really beautiful painting on the wall, and there's a glory hole, and somebody starts speaking to him from the other stall through this glory hole. And it goes from there, and it kind of gets pretty trippy, pretty out there, pretty zany. It's funny.
Is this a gay movie?
This is my major issue with this movie.
You can't have a glory hole in a men's bathroom and it's not gay.
It's not a gay movie. It's not a glory hole movie, I'm going to say. And that's really the saddest part of this whole fucking thing, because I went into this thinking, cool, this is a fantastic concept for a movie.
Yeah.
A glory hole horror movie. Like, it's a one sentence pitch. This glory hole was completely incidental to the plot. It's never ever used as a glory hole. It's never. It's not like it's organically embedded in, like, the DNA of the story that someone's using a glory hole, or someone's, like, there to use a glory hole, or, like, nothing at all. It's right. Just there. And obviously, if anyone out there listening to this has ever been to a public bathroom, you can communicate pretty easily with the people in the stall next to you.
Yeah.
You don't need a hole in the wall for that, because there's no bottom and top to the stalls. Like, you can just talk. So there's literally no reason for the glory hole to be there.
Hole is only used for communication in this movie. It's not used for appendages.
It's not like they're putting their ear up to the hole or their mouth. Like
in Scary Movie.
Scary Movie was a much better glory hole movie. It was. they never really use it. It's just there, but then they're just talking. So it never was used as a glory hole, and that was my major gripe with the movie. There's some other problems, but really, if you're going to make a movie called Glorious about a glory hole,
yeah,
and you're going to sell it based on that premise, you got to have glory hole action.
Do straight people use glory holes?
I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have.
Well, it's appropriation.
It's kind of difficult because of the gender segregated bathrooms.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So, it's like it'd have to be, I don't know how that would work. Maybe in a unisex kind of situation.
True.
More bathrooms are being like, like all gender bathrooms now. So
we might see like a revolution in glory holes.
They might come back. And then maybe there could be a sequel. But for the time being, we've got Glorious and it's just a public bathroom horror movie. It is not a glory hole movie. And that kind of upset me because it felt like the only reason they included this glory hole was to like artificially amp up the edginess of the movie.
Right.
It's like funny and snappy and it's like, oh, a glory hole, what the fuck? But it's just a hole in the wall doesn't count as a glory hole.
No.
If it's not used for that purpose, then I feel like it's more of an existential question. It's not a glory hole anymore. Like what makes it a glory hole is the
use. Like the grains of sand paradox that I've brought up three times now.
That's the theme of this podcast. That's what this podcast is about.
Yeah. So if you were going around saying that's a glory hole, you could say any hole is a glory hole.
Any hole. And also the fact that you didn't even need the hole at all. You're just talking. Like it doesn't play any part in the movie. The movie itself it's got its moments. J.K. Simmons is pretty good. He's off screen the whole time. He's just a voice. Which I think is a really fucking smart move. If you want to make a low budget horror movie and you want to have some kind of key cast that can attract finance and can attract audiences, if you could sell it to them as, hey, you can just record this like in your room one day of just recording, speaking into a thing, that's really fucking intelligent.
You know, that's not the first time J.K. Simmons has done that.
What else did he do that in?
He did a major voice in a video game, Portal 2. He never appears on screen, but he's like a...
Oh, my God. I forgot about that fucking Portal game.
I love Portal.
I hate that game.
It's so fun.
Okay, well, yeah, he's made a return to voice acting and he was obviously good, but like I was disappointed. I'd heard so many good things and I think there's a lot of goodwill around it because of Rebecca McKendry and just how incredible she is, but it's clear, like it's very low budget and it shows. And I feel like a fucking bitch right now. I don't know why.
Sometimes it's like a disappointing, like, you don't want to dislike
this. No, I want her to win.
You're sad about it.
Yeah, totally. I want to say this is a fantastic movie. Everyone go watch it. I still think it's good. I still think there are a lot of good elements. And there's like a big twist, which is kind of fun. But it doesn't feel like anything I'm going to think about at the end of the year when I'm reflecting on the new releases of the year.
Poor Glorious.
Yeah. But also, like, don't call it that then.
Yeah.
Don't make a glory hole movie if you don't have a glory hole in it. You just have a hole. Like, it's just kind of...
Well, look, any hole is a goal.
I can't tell you how fucking sad I was that no one stuck their dick in this hole. Like, literally, the whole... Like, as the movie progressed and I was like, we're running out of time. No one's going to put their dick in this fucking hole.
Is this the first time you've said that?
That was the tension of the movie. That was the tension for me. It was ratcheting up. I'm like, looking at the runtime, I'm like, where are the dicks? Like, no one's putting their fucking dick in the hole. So, I guess that was kind of something. But yeah, I think that is the first time I've disliked a movie because there wasn't enough glory hole action in it.
Yeah.
But it might not be the last. I'm sure it won't be the last because now I'm going to be looking out for it. Now I have a craving, like, and I have an itch that hasn't been scratched. If anyone with recommendations for good glory hole movies, horror movies.
Well, we talked about Scary Movie, but I feel like the movie Hellbent, which I watched for the queer horror episode, I feel like that has a glory hole scene.
That it makes more sense in a movie like that.
Yeah.
And that also kind of rubbed me the wrong way. It's like, this is, you know, if you're going to make a glory hole movie, put someone gay in it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It seems pretty obvious to me.
Yeah, totally. Well, that's glorious.
That's glorious, yeah. Have you seen anything cool lately?
Well, I wanted to talk about, I finally watched The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Cool.
From 1954, I think. And I kind of realized that, You know, when we talk about movies, especially old movies, we have this like canon of directors. We're like, I'm going to watch the Stanley Kubrick filmography. I'm going to watch Alfred Hitchcock's filmography. I want to find these directors who like just made a few like B movies at the time, but now it's like it's kind of this over and it's actually really impressive because this was directed by Jack Arnold, who made one of my favorite sci-fi movies, The Incredible Shrinking Man. I absolutely love that movie. Mm-hmm. This movie was good too. It was like you can see how this character eventually became The Shape of Water because there's like a real melancholy and a real humanity to the Gill Man.
Right.
And it's just like it's iconic. The effects are groundbreaking. It's set in the Amazon on the Nile. Not the fucking Nile. excuse me, I'm sick. On the Amazon River. I'm going to leave that part in. Jesus Christ, what a fucking idiot. In the Amazon River, it's like an adventure movie and it's also a little bit creepy and it's fun. And so I just want
to- character design?
It has the character design of the Gill Man.
Yeah.
Iconic. He's like, he's got these claws with these webbed fingers.
That could be a good Halloween costume.
Yeah, maybe I should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You love the ocean. You love swimming.
I fucking love. Maybe that's why I loved this movie so much.
Yeah, you connected with him.
Yeah. I am the Gill Man. but yeah, I want to find all these. Like, you and I have talked about how much we like Todd Browning. I'd love to view the whole Todd Browning filmography. And there's people like Ida Lupino, a really early female filmmaker who never gets her fucking check. I don't know. I just want this new canon of directors from back in the day.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sick of the same box sets.
Yes.
I don't want to see any more of their shit. That's a good idea. Let's refresh it a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Hey, this is like a very sci-fi focused episode.
Yes. And I believe you have something to talk about on that.
Well, yeah, because this is finally the week of the Sydney Science Fiction Film Festival, which is called that, but also it's in Melbourne at the same time. And we're going to other places later. So if you're in Sydney or Melbourne this week, from Thursday to Sunday, we'll be playing some pretty hectic movies. In Sydney on Saturday night, we're playing Neptune Frost, which is getting
fucking good.
It looks fucking incredible. We're co-presenting that with Static Vision, Friends of the Pod.
Yes.
And with Queer Screen. So definitely come check that out if you haven't had a chance to see it because Melbourne always gets cool stuff. But now Sydney gets to watch it. I think it's the Sydney premiere of that. We've got like an international shorts showcase this Sunday.
Yeah, you mentioned there were some really good shorts on the program. Was it that international shorts in particular? Or
I reckon we've also got an animation shorts showcase, which has some really good stuff. There's a short in that Camouflage. I spoke to the filmmakers the other day and like that movie made me cry so much. Oh. And, you know, it's not often that a short animated movie would make me cry. Even though I am a big baby. So I would recommend the animation shorts showcase. I reckon you should go to the international shorts showcase because there's some really, really cool stuff. And we've found some of the coolest speculative fiction from around the fucking world. It's a really, really international festival. I highly recommend it. Thursday night is opening night. So that's going to have a bit of a buzz. We're going to play Polaris. So come check it out. Come join us.
And a lot of it, I think, I was looking at the program earlier today, and a lot of it does look horror adjacent.
Yes.
There's a movie, Landlocked, that seems to have like a bit of a found footage vibe, a bit of like an experimental production.
Yes.
It looks great.
There's an alien movie that we're showing, which looks fucking hectic.
Woman?
Huh? Oh, there's that one too. I'm talking about, I think it's called The Alien Report that we're screening. There's a movie called The Pink Cloud, which is great. So I think the program's really cool. And, you know, if you care about film, you should support local festivals.
Yeah.
And
help it get bigger next year.
And it'll be just a good vibe, I think. You know, like when you go to like a festival and everyone's just kind of, they're really like into that thing. Like you just see a lot of characters. Like it's just fun. It's just a fun time.
Especially sci-fi people. They're nuts.
Yeah, they're fucking crazy. And I'll be there and I'm like, you know, pretty cool.
You're hanging on by a thread.
I'm not contagious anymore, so don't worry. So if you go to SydneyScienceFictionFilmFestival.com.au, you can look at the full program. You can buy tickets. In Sydney, it's at Event George Street, and that's where I'll be on opening night and a bunch of the other sessions as well.
And they have reclining seats.
Yeah, it's so fucking comfortable. Get some popcorn. Everyone loves popcorn. That's what I reckon I'd eat in like if I was doing like a competitive eating challenge. I reckon I could eat so much popcorn. So if you reckon you can eat more popcorn than me, I'm telling you right now, if you come and buy a ticket to opening night, I will have a popcorn eat-off with you.
Oh, my God.
If you would so choose.
What if you die?
Then so be it.
Your lips are going to be so wrinkly.
Oh, I'll be like a prune. yeah. Come say hi if you do, if you see me, if you come and you see me, because
I'll be there.
You know. Yeah, you come say hi, especially. It'd be weird if you didn't fucking say hi to me.
Yeah, just like pretend I don't know you.
Come say hi to us. Yeah, that's all.
Cool. Love it. I'm excited. I think friend of the pod, Paul, is going to be there.
Oh, my God, true.
The famous Paul.
The man who always stumps us with his two spooks. Mm-hmm. He'll definitely be at opening night, so.
He'll be wearing a yellow flower in his lapel.
Yeah. Come ask him questions about fucked up movies because he knows more than anyone I know.
Yeah.
Like, he really does. He's such an encyclopedia. And if you just tell him that you love two spooks.
I hope Paul's not in, like, witness protection or something.
Either, because we just told everyone where he's going to be. Come buy him a beer.
Yeah, he loves beer.
Yeah.
And he ask about his story from the pub.
Okay, now we're really adding him. Hi, Paul, we love you.
Yeah, I'm not going to give any more details of that, I promise. Yeah, cool. Sydney Sci-Fi Film Festival. Is that what it's called? Sydney Science Fiction Film Festival.
Yep.
August 25th to 29th. Eighth. Oh, 28th.
Inclusive.
and what's the website again?
SydneyScienceFictionFilmFestival.com.au.
Lovely. Cool. So, with that finally out of the way, we're going to move on to another science fiction film.
Yeah.
From everyone's favorite horror director.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. You know what?
What?
I'm looking at you now. Crystal's got these like bell-bottom jeans on, and I think you look like ABBA on a day off.
That's so rude.
ABBA's great.
Do you mean the band ABBA?
Yeah, but one of the ladies from ABBA, maybe the blonde one.
Yesterday I was in the Blue Mountains and I really needed a coffee because it was the afternoon and I had just done a canyon. Mm-hmm. And I went to the only coffee shop that was still open in Katoomba, and I was waiting. They took a while because, you know, it's mountain time.
Yeah.
I was in there for a few minutes. They were only playing ABBA songs. And in my head, I was like, this is my personal hell. Like,
it's my personal heaven.
I really felt like someone was testing me. I was like, I have to get the fuck. Like, maybe I'll abandon my coffee. I've got to get the fuck out of here. It was driving me nuts.
Oh,
that's rude that you said that.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I'm kind of, you know who has like sick fashion sense?
ABBA.
And the character of Emerald in the movie Nope, played by Kiki Palmer.
Oh, I don't know that I noticed her fashions.
The whole time I was like, this bitch.
She likes a baggy pant. I remember
that. The thing is, you know she's a lesbian before it comes up, and I love that.
Yeah, I guess you do.
We're talking about Nope today.
Yes, Nope, the third feature from Jordan Peele.
Oh, Jesus.
Peele.
He is so, like, he's so talented. At this point, he's made three incredible movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do we do? Deify him? Something needs to happen. He needs a special award. I think he's just, like, who can match him? Who's working right now?
Who's working right now? Yes.
Nobody.
Well, it's interesting you say that because have you seen the hot takes on Twitter from people being like, no other horror director has ever made three great films in a row?
Yeah, like, and then his response where he like photoshopped himself onto like.
Yeah, that was really cute.
That was cute. But like, I like that. I want to see more of that and less of people taking him down or criticizing.
You go into any Reddit thread about any Jordan Peele movie and sort by controversial, that's the key. And it's all these people being like, this is just going to be another example of white people bad. And it's
Jesus.
He hasn't made a white people bad movie since Get Out. And even Get Out was a very specific subset of neoliberal white people. So like,
and also white people are bad.
Yeah.
I have a message for Dreddit. Fuck you guys. Every time, this is every fucking like our horror thread.
That rank, place is horrible. Oh,
it's the worst place, but also like,
yeah.
every single thread is just like, who do you, like, it's basically like, fuck, marry, kill. Ari Aster, who's the sexy man? Robert Eggers and Jordan Peele.
Ooh,
that's Ari. Such an easy one. Yeah, and obviously you kill Ari Aster.
Yeah.
But it's not actually fuck, marry, kill. It's usually like people put them in order and every single one, every comment is always like, number three, Jordan Peele. Don't care for his movies. Fuck you guys. It's honestly, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, and this is how we're going to start the fucking dissection of this film. I really do feel like there's this heightened scrutiny.
Oh, yeah.
For Jordan Peele movies when he's clearly not only an incredibly talented filmmaker who can marry like tension and scares with craft and also with comedy,
yeah,
but organic comedy.
It never feels try-hard.
And he's clearly so well-versed in the genre, like the history of the genre,
mm-hmm.
And obviously loves and respects it. But people, the way people receive his films, like white audiences receive his films is no one has that energy for like Ari Aster or anyone else. Nobody has that energy for any of the white filmmakers. Ari Aster
is way more deserving of that kind of criticism.
Totally. So that pisses me off. So I just wanted to get that off my chest early.
Thank you for sharing. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. But nope, I just want to say before we talk about it, this is the kind of movie where I feel like you need to know very little going into it.
Are we going to avoid the spoilies?
Or? I think what we need to do is we need to just talk very, very cursory for a little bit. And then we're going to have a spoilies warning.
Yeah.
And then after that, if you haven't seen it yet, don't listen to the rest of the episode yet because you kind of, I feel like they've done a good job with the marketing to not give anything away. And it's a big part of this movie to not know. So if maybe we just talk like very, very top line for a little bit and then we'll have a little break and we'll get into it.
Well, this movie gets so intense so quickly that I don't really know how to talk about it top line.
Basically, all I can say is I think it's really good.
I really liked it. I think it was better than Us. I had some issues with Us. This is a better movie. This is kind of a more complete experience and just feels like a better crafted story.
And it's also evidence that Jordan Peele can work in that blockbuster kind of scale.
Yeah.
Like he can make these big, fantastic movies because Get Out was so contained.
Yeah.
And Us had like a lot of world building, but it was still quite contained itself.
It was a slasher.
Yeah. This movie, it just shows that like he can fucking do it all. You can give him a big budget. You can give him like a big, huge, crazy thing to pull off and he can do it. And watching this movie made me feel like that same excitement of going to the movies when we were kids and there were these big like Steven Spielberg movies and stuff that felt like it was like spectacle, which I think is a huge theme of the film as well.
Yeah, totally.
But it was exciting in that same way.
Yeah. Well, the feeling I got from this movie, which I was not expecting at all, like obviously the marketing for this movie is that it's a sci-fi horror movie. It's got something to do with aliens maybe. But this movie in my eyes reminded me so much of a classic grand John Ford Western, like The Searchers. I was half expecting John Wayne to be there.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just the setting because it is set, it's like rural California, right?
Mm.
There's horses, all that kind of stuff. There's great horse riding sequences, but it just, the way it looks and feels. And then when you dig down to some of the key themes of it, it also feels like a Western.
Yes.
And I've just never seen that kind of like genre, cross-pollination done with so much craft.
Yeah, I agree. I'm having a real hard time thinking about how to talk about this movie without spoiling it. It's really difficult. I do want to say that Keke Palmer is such a talent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is incredible. She's not only a fantastic actress, but she's so charismatic.
A lot of people have said they found Keke Palmer's character in this movie annoying.
Those people are wrong. Like, that's it. They're wrong. Don't you think she was so good?
She was the heart and soul of the movie. And yes. I love that it really found a space to explore this brother-sister relationship without resorting to cliches. Like, they both felt like really full-formed people. And that was a really tricky character that Daniel Kaluuya plays in this movie because he's so reserved.
Nuts. Yeah.
But he just, like, you always understand what's going on with this character.
He's so intense and kind of brooding.
Mm.
And, yeah, he doesn't really show that much emotion, but you're right. He does let you in this really weird, vulnerable way. He was fantastic as well. But because he is so reserved, we needed that Keke Palmer character to, like, take us through the movie, like, make us feel welcome there.
Yeah.
And it was fun to watch them, like, they really felt like they had an actual bond, like a brother-sister bond. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, you could sort of sense the combativeness, but also, like, the respect.
And they just seemed to have fun together.
Yeah.
In a real sibling kind of way. Mm. I love siblings. I love movies about siblings. I have a lot of siblings. I think siblings are the best.
We should do a siblings episode.
Yeah, maybe we should. Is there anything else that you think we can say before we get into the whole meat of it?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult. I guess what I would say is go watch this fucking movie. Go to the cinema. Like, watch it on a big screen. Watch it somewhere that you're going to have a good time. Get popcorn. Have fun. Like, it really, really made me feel very excited about cinema.
Yeah, you did have popcorn,
in a childlike way. Oh, you got to have popcorn. And it's a popcorn film.
I think I had a Choc Top. So that's...
Get a fucking get both.
Yeah.
Get fucking Maltesers, put them in. Do whatever you have to do. But go watch this movie and then once you've done that, come back and listen to the rest of this episode because now we're going to just talk about it.
Yeah. So are they gone?
Bye. Okay. Did you love it the same way I loved it?
I don't think I loved it the same way you loved it, but it's one of those ones where you marinate on it for a little while and you're like, you kind of realize that it did more than you gave it credit for in the first place. So I had a very similar experience with Get Out where when I saw it for the second time with Jordan Peele, you notice all these little breadcrumbs that he lays.
He pays so much attention to detail.
Yeah. So I think seeing this one again, you would notice that a lot more and you'd probably have an even better experience with it.
For sure. I feel like there are a lot of references in this film to other films and I want to like go watch those movies and then come back to this one with like those eyes, you know?
Which references did you notice in particular?
Well, I was reading that there are like specific movie posters on the walls and stuff. So I'd have to go back and have a look. But I feel like with him, everything that he does feels very like deliberate. It feels very intentional. And also, the other thing I love with him is the way that he uses music in film is like really no one else.
Yeah.
And
it's like he's making a mixtape for you.
Yeah, he is. It's like a whole experience. And I just think he's the best at it. Like, I really do think he's the best.
Yeah. That's the thing about this movie is even if you don't go on the journey that it wants to take you on, you can't deny that this is such a well-made, well-crafted movie.
Yeah. And you'll find things that you like about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I loved the whole – so the movie's obviously about these siblings who live out in this like gulch or whatever and they have an animal handling business where they – I guess they like take horses to go be in movies. But their business is kind of failing and they're having to sell a lot of horses. And then at the same time, there's kind of – we keep seeing this story that eventually we catch up to of this sitcom where there was a chimp who was like an actor on set who went crazy because some balloons popped in front of him and he like hurt a bunch of people. I don't know if he killed anyone.
Heard
a bunch of people at least.
Yeah, definitely heard a bunch of people. And that part of the story, I believe, is actually based on a true story. I can't remember the name of the chimp. He wasn't in a sitcom, but he was raised like the child of this couple and he drove a car. Crazy, right?
Jesus.
He was like known
on the streets?
Yeah.
He had a license?
Yeah. He was known in the town. He was known to the police. No. The police would like talk to him and stuff.
Where the fuck did this take place?
Take one guess which country it was in.
Poland.
Yeah. But yeah, one day he went crazy and attacked this lady and pulled her eyelids off and stuff.
I remember that. I don't know if this is the same chimp because I feel like chimps do this a lot.
Yeah, they love it.
It's kind of their MO. But I remember when that video came out when I was like a teenager of like the chimp attacking his lady owner and like just like taking her face off.
Yeah.
And it made me sick like nothing else had. So watching this kind of, it gives you that same feeling of like deep dread.
Yeah.
And nausea. But at the same time, there is an element of spectacle about it. There is this kind of almost like a tragedy or grief porn that you're like drawn to it.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the movie knows that and
yeah.
it reacts to it in what it does with that. That
yes.
Plot point.
And that the character who was a child actor at the time who survived that attack and then goes on to kind of make his whole business around like luring this weird sky creature to come and eat horses and entertain people and almost act as if he's kind of untouchable.
Yeah.
Because he had that experience with the chimp.
Yeah.
It's really interesting what it does to him. Even the fact that when he's first talking about the incident with Kiki Palmer's character and explaining it to her, he's so lighthearted about it. He's like, oh, watch the SNL skit. It's really funny. Like, he just has this strange detachment from what actually happened because it's almost like
unresolved trauma.
Yes. And it seems like the way it's impacted him is, or the way he's had to compartmentalize it is to then make himself feel like he's always been in control. Like he was in control and that was why he survived and he can just do it again with the creature who kind of is Jean Jacket, the
such a cute name.
The creature of the movie.
Yeah. Well, what I love about that is you've talked so far about the emotional arcs of the human characters.
Mm.
But then the movie also has these really strong emotional arcs for the
yeah.
The non-human
yeah.
characters. Like I forget the chimp's name. Trevor, maybe?
I don't remember.
Maybe Trevor was the real chimp. Anyway, the chimp.
I don't remember his name.
You feel really sorry for the chimp at the same time. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, the chimp is kind of a dangerous figure in the movie, but at the same time, you're like, the chimp shouldn't have been on the sitcom in the first place. And then throughout the movie, there are these chapters named after the horses that are on the ranch. I think the first one might be Ghost. And so it really centers the animals and the relationship between the humans and the animals.
Yeah.
And the fact that the animals, in a lot of cases, aren't being treated the way they should.
Except by Daniel Kaluuya.
Except by Daniel Kaluuya. And that's the whole crux of that movie is yes. that he recognizes the personhood of this creature.
Yes.
He recognizes that it's not maliciously killing people. It's eating. It's surviving.
Yeah.
And
he realizes that he can't defeat the creature by coming up against it. He needs to kind of respect its autonomy and respect its desires,
mm-hmm.
which in the reality of the movie is not looking it in the eye, which is something that was also seemed to affect the chimp.
Yeah.
It seemed to affect the horses
yeah.
that he was training. What is that about, the no eye contact thing?
Well, you know what? I was just at my parents' house on the weekend and my sister's house, and she has this dog. And if you look that dog in the face, in the eyes,
yeah.
and open your eyes real wide, it will go crazy at you and start barking.
Jesus.
So, like, it's a real thing with animals. Like,
yeah.
body language for animals especially is, like, yeah. a really big way of communicating. So, yeah, I guess it's like I said, he's recognizing the
yeah.
actual sentience of that creature.
And it's such it's a great detail to pick up on because at the same time it's so ripe for metaphor to have an issue that you can't really look at without kind of making it worse or making or putting yourself in danger.
Mm.
I feel like from there you can go so many different places. So he's just so fucking smart.
Yeah.
But what did you think of this creature? Which, you know, the most of the movie you're thinking this is an alien movie.
It's not.
And then at the end you're like, we don't know if he's an alien. We don't know what the fuck, like, we just know that there's this weird creature in the sky.
He might have been there before us. From.
Yeah, exactly.
That's partially what made me think of the Western thing is because I was thinking maybe the alien is kind of like a Native American stand-in. If we're looking at this as a traditional yeah. Western, then is this a revisionist Western where the cowboys reach an understanding with the Native Americans? Something like that. I don't have anything more to say about that. But, yeah, it's like – I think the fact that the origin of the alien is never the alien in inverted commas is never established. It kind of gives you free rein to think the humans were on its turf, right?
Well, especially because this guy, so what's the name? Jupe. Oh, the Jupe, guy yeah. who ran the, like, it's kind of like a theme park.
It looks fun.
They looked actually so fun. And he would lure the alien for these, like, shows. And it looks like he was kind of feeding them the horses he was buying yeah. from Daniel Kaluuya. So I feel like he starts to get involved in this really arrogant way, thinking that he's got this kind of communion with the alien and he can kind of get away with it. And it's this kind of idea of being able to have, like, a mastery over the natural
it's
world.
It's the lion eats the ringmaster narrative.
Yes, yeah. yes, which is, like, so – like, they talk about – they mention it. It's so paralleled with the sitcom incident.
Yeah.
It's just this theme over and over again of getting too comfortable with animals and too comfortable with these dangerous creatures that we think that we've kind of tamed.
And just generally, I think, being too comfortable with exploiting another yeah. being.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's really interesting. I feel like that Jupe character is so interesting himself because – he does seem to be, like, reliving this childhood trauma of his in this way. So even though he's kind of viewed as a villain in some respects, he's more complicated than that.
Totally.
And then there's the woman who we see in the trailer who was his co-star who had her face, like, ripped off.
Mm.
And she makes an appearance later only to be eaten by this fucking alien. And it's like, this fucking bitch. Imagine her life. Her life was so terrible.
Yeah. She had a nice hat.
She only had the hat because she wanted to cover her fucking face. How weird was it that she was wearing that? She was wearing, a sweater that had a picture of her when she was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, that's that weird. Made me – that was like the saddest you would detail. Do that. Why? That's so sad.
Is it?
It just makes it seem
yeah,
like
yeah, but
that
you, your face life. Isn't eaten off. So, like,
oh, I'd do that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I should do that.
Yeah. But yeah, she obviously misses her old face.
For her, it's like her life stopped at that point.
Yeah.
And that detail was just really fucking depressing. Really sad. This is a bit of a tangent, but
oh, I love a tangent.
I need to give a shout out to Amine, one of my favorite rappers.
Oh, yeah.
Who's actually coming to Sydney kind of soon, so we should go see him. but he's got this line in his song Mad Funny Freestyle that, like, always makes me laugh, where he says, we're getting free facials because we're getting Jordan Peele's. Isn't that cute?
Jordan yeah. Peele's. They should do a remix where Jordan Peele does a verse.
Oh, do you reckon he can rap?
Maybe not.
He puts a lot of rap music in his movies.
True. He's obviously a rap fan.
Yeah. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
Or
it could be like that time The Rock rapped.
I don't remember that.
Is it about drive? It's about power.
Oh, okay. Was it not good?
No.
But when Idris Elba rapped, that was good.
I guess.
I thought it was good.
Was that on the same song?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Any other actors who can rap, let us know.
Bruce Willis can rap.
Can he? Even now?
Yeah.
I hope he's doing okay. You know what I mean?
Madonna can rap.
Prayers up for Bruce Willis. Madonna can't rap.
Hey, what
you know who should have been in this movie? Fucking Demi Lovato. Because at a certain point in this movie, they start talking about how UFOs are now being referred to as UAPs. And the whole reason is because the government wants to, like, cover it up and make you not think about it. And hearing the term UAPs, all I could think about was Demi Lovato and her reality show about aliens.
Yeah, and how she thinks, what was it, we shouldn't call them extraterrestrials? Or, no, we shouldn't call them aliens because
no,
that's
offensive.
We should
only call them ETs, yeah.
Yeah.
And she makes songs for them and stuff. And I
By
feel
the way,
like
she changed her pronouns back, so we're doing it right.
Yeah. I feel like she I feel like she really should have been consulted, don't you think?
Maybe she was.
I didn't see her in the credits, but it's that would have been a good crossover. She had a song or something, like an alien song, ET song. Because instantly when I heard UAP, I was like, Demi Lovato had a hand.
I just think of OAP, which is old age pensioner. Yeah.
Did the end of this movie remind you of the Just Don't Look song in The Simpsons?
Oh, shit. They should have put that in there.
Yeah.
Just don't look. Just don't look. That's
a good
such
song.
A good song.
That's a really good song. But it is interesting because it makes you think about, like, what constitutes an alien and what constitutes, like, an outsider. And it's not that straightforward. I like that this movie complicates that definition. It's like an alien movie that like fucks up the whole idea of alien.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what that even means anymore.
Yeah. And this movie is so not heavy-handed about it. It's just
– yeah.
I think what's special about it is it does have something to say, but it also just tells a good story without yes. getting bogged down in that. And a lot of people complain about Jordan Peele being pretentious, but – and I've seen a lot of negative reviews of this movie saying like it doesn't say anything, but it's like, do you want him to be pretentious and heavy-handed, or do you want a movie like this? Like,
they just want to complain.
They just want to
be ungrateful. Like, as if you're not fucking grateful that this fantastic movie has come out that's fun, it's funny, it's got a great cast.
Mm-hmm.
It does have things to say, but also it's just like having a good fucking time. It looks amazing.
Mm, the cinematography is beautiful. Yeah,
who was the cinematographer? It was like somebody who did some big like – space movie that I can't fucking remember that everyone loved. I don't know. Anyway.
Star Wars? Yeah. Gravity?
Shout outs to him, whoever the fuck it was.
Or her. Because
it looked so good. It was definitely a man, but I can't remember who. Yeah, everything about it, I really loved it. You know how in Us, there's kind of a crucial fist bump scene, and there's a crucial fist bump in this movie too. I mean, not in Us, in Get Out. In Us, is there a fist bump in Us? Like, surely.
Not that I remember, but I feel like if there
was. Go back and comb through it because I want this to be a fist bump trilogy.
You know the bit where the son and his doppelganger are in the closet together? Maybe there's a fist bump in there?
I'm gonna rewatch specifically for fist bump footage because when I saw the fist bump in this, I was like, this has to be a director's trademark. And I love that. And this was an interspecies fist bump.
Yeah, that's really breaking down barriers.
You know what was interesting in the trailer? I feel like when there was a lot of speculation about the trailer because they really didn't reveal anything about the movie, which is so smart. Everyone thought that fist bump was like evidence it was an alien movie. They were like, look at this alien hand.
Bitch, it's a chimp.
Yeah. So again, what the fuck is an alien? What does an alien mean? We don't know.
Yeah.
We're all just fucking aliens.
I'm sorry. I just started thinking about how on every cycle of America's Next Top Model, Tyra would say to one girl, "You look like an alien."
Yeah, she really loved the alien thing.
Yeah,
Tyra could have been in this.
True.
Honestly, bring Tyra back because I haven't seen her acting in a little while. Since
Halloween Resurrection.
Well, actually, since all her crazy Instagram content that she puts up.
Oh.
She put up a series of pictures the other day that's just like unhinged. And I feel like it means that she's ready for another role.
Yeah. Well, there was Life Size 2, right?
Was there?
Wasn't
there? I don't think I ever saw that.
Oh.
Fuck, I got to watch that.
Yeah.
What happens?
I don't know. She's Life Size again.
Did she ever go back? I thought she stayed. I don't remember.
I don't remember how Life Size ended. What do you make of the title of this movie? Because it's like, it's not very illustrative of what it's about.
I feel like, firstly, it's fun anytime a movie says the title in the movie. Like,
yes. And this one does it a few times.
And the crowd loved it.
Yeah.
The audience that we watched it when it first came out, like the day it came out, and everyone was really having a great time.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend the cinema experience for that reason also. But I think I read it more as like part of this canon that Jordan Peele is building of horror movies for black audiences. And I like that he makes them for black audiences and that's it. And he's not trying to make any excuses for that. And every single title seems to be a reference to that. So like Get Out and Nope to me are both representative of that same idea that like a black person watching a horror movie, watching white people do stupid things would be like.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah.
Right. And then Us is obviously like, that's who the movie is for.
Yeah.
So I love that. Yeah. And I feel like to make it subtle in terms of just having these titles that reflect his intention in building up this kind of, I don't know, it's because black and Latino audiences are the main audiences for horror movies.
Yeah.
And yet they've been completely underserved for so long. So I love that he's so unapologetic about building up this kind of cinematic canon that's specifically for black audiences.
Yeah. And the people being angry about it, it's just because they're so insecure. It's like,
yeah, it's like, what the fuck do you want? What do you want?
It's not an attack on you if the people in the movie don't look like you. You could still enjoy it.
If you're too stupid to have a good time watching this movie, then I'm sorry, but that's your problem. You're missing out.
Well, what about, there's another part in the movie that's been so confusing to a lot of people.
Oh, what?
The fucking shoe that stands up.
Oh, yeah.
The fuck does that mean?
That's true. I didn't really think about what it meant. I think what's interesting is that it feels like the character, the little boy, Jupe as a little boy, his character is so fixated on that shoe.
Yeah.
That it kind of inadvertently saves him because he's not looking at the chimp.
Yeah.
And he's not freaking out the chimp. He's kind of just fixated on something irrelevant. But in terms of why the fuck the shoe is standing up on its end like that, it's got to mean something.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. And I feel like there's so much in this movie that I could keep watching it and thinking about it and keep discovering new things for a really long time.
Mm.
Like, it just feels like so much thought was put into it. You know what scene I really loved?
Which one?
The scene early on when we haven't really seen too much, like, jean jacket action yet.
Yep.
I love the name Jean Jacket.
It's so fucking cute.
It's really cute. And it's obviously, it's like Jean Jacket was the name of the horse that
Emerald was supposed to have.
Yeah. And it kind of, that horse shaped both those kids in different ways. But when Daniel Kaluuya's character is going, he's in the barn at nighttime, and then we start to have this like real traditional horror scene of these like scary figures moving in this freaky way.
That was genuinely creepy too.
It was actually so scary. And then one kid, we find out it's kids like playing a prank on him from Jupe's ranch or whatever. One kid pops up behind him and he punches him in the face. Again, it's another one of those great references for people who talk about like, oh, horror movies are so dumb because they always run up the stairs or they always go investigate something. Jordan Peele subverts all of those genre tropes.
That was constantly the exact scene when I was like, I get why this movie's called Nope now. I think in that scene, he literally says Nope and starts walking away.
And it's so, and just to punch this kid in the face, because that's your immediate reaction, instead of being scared or whatever. I love that he's subverting tropes in this way that's not only just to be like, oh, look at me, I can be artistic and different. He's subverting them in a way that is specifically speaking to audiences and engaging with this kind of conversation that horror fans have been having for a really long time. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it just feels like he's bringing us into the movies in this way that is so satisfying.
Totally. It's like almost like what having a conversation with your friend who's a big horror buff or something.
Yes. And then he's like, okay, wait a minute. Let me do something and then I'll show it to you and you tell me if this is what you mean.
Yeah.
Because his characters just don't act like stupid horror movie characters.
Yeah.
And you realize that they don't need to at all.
No.
But I loved that scene. I thought it was scary and then it was funny and then it was satisfying and then it made sense that they were pranking him because Emerald had stolen the, like, inflatable dancing thing.
Wasn't it she stole the fucking horse.
The training horse, yeah. Ew. What did you think of those inflatable dudes? That was a big part of the movie.
I thought it was cute. It was, I think, in my opinion, more a visual cue than an actual. And it looked great in the marketing.
I think we needed something to show when this thing was around without seeing it all the time.
Yeah.
And everyone likes those guys.
Yeah. What do you call them?
I don't know.
Do you call it the wacky flying inflatable tube men?
Yeah. The only thing I feel like sometimes with Jordan Peele movies, like they're so great. And then there's maybe one element that like for me, not with Get Out. I think Get Out is a perfect film.
Yeah.
But there's one element that's like, okay, you went a little bit too far. You could have reined it in a bit there. Like in Us, it was for me the part where, the end was a bit crazy, but the part where Elizabeth Moss's character is being attacked.
And oh, then fuck the police.
Yeah, scene, she asks Alexa or like their version of Alexa to play to call the police. And then it's like playing fuck the police. That to me is like, okay, it's too jokey and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So it would never happen. So that like kind of takes me out of it. In this movie, the TMZ character at the end, I was like, this is now we're leaning too heavily into sketch and it's not working for the movie. It doesn't fit the tone of the movie. This guy's being too over the top.
And you could have had a character in that position without having to do all the jokey stuff.
Yeah, you didn't have to have him be like, my camera when he's about to die. Like, that's taken it a bit too far. Like, he doesn't feel human anymore.
Yeah.
that was my one little thing of like, all right.
And when the rest of the characters do feel yes. so finely drawn, that yes, really sticks out. Yeah.
It's kind of like, what is he doing here? Yeah. Is he from an earlier draft and something happened? Yeah, but apart from that, I thought it was...
It was really good.
So great. And I know this isn't technically an Alien movie, or maybe it's not. I don't know. But I think it fits the canon of Alien movie. It clearly has a lot of references to like Close Encounters of the Third Kind exactly. and stuff. And that movie Contact or whatever the fuck it's called. I feel like...
I've never seen that movie. Is it good?
It's so good. I feel like it is an Alien movie at heart. And I feel like it's a fantastic one. And honestly, I was thinking, like, we've been overdue for Alien movies. I was always very scared of aliens when I was a kid.
Me too.
I would always think about, I was so convinced, 100% sure that I was going to get abducted for like a couple years of my life. I don't know why. I just knew it was going to happen one day.
When I first got an internet connection, the only thing I did was read about aliens. Mm. And God knows what kind of... absolute nonsense I was reading.
It would have been fun back then because they could have had footage or pictures that what are you just going to think it's real?
Yeah.
You can't get away with that stuff anymore. Now you got to spend a lot of money to make an alien movie, but I'm just so glad that we have another one.
What would you name as your favorite alien film aside from this one?
Oh, man. You know what's a good movie? I literally can't remember what it's called. It's from like, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. All I remember is this scene where the man goes outside and in the middle of the night, and then I think maybe his wife or something goes out to see what he's doing and he's just standing there. What the fuck is that movie?
I don't know.
Wait, let me find.
Is it like The Third Kind? Did it have Mila Jovovich in it?
I don't think so. Do you have one off the top of your head while I try and find what this movie's called?
My favorite alien movie?
Yeah.
I think everyone should see The Thing from Another World from 1950-something. It's the original The Thing, and it is the movie that's on the TV in Halloween. So that's its bona fides right there.
Okay, that's cute. Obviously, shout out Signs because that's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But what the fuck is the movie I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Let me find
Maybe it. We need to go on Reddit and make a post on tip of my
yeah,
tongue.
Yeah, so, no, yeah, so I think we should go on Reddit so everyone says I'm a fucking idiot and replies to me and is like, you're a fuckwit. You don't even understand. You don't even know this movie, you stupid fucking bitch. We're really trash-talking Reddit today.
Yeah, Reddit sucks.
I don't know how to look for this movie. Okay, I don't remember what the fuck I'm talking about, but... I do love 10 Cloverfield Lane. I think that's a good alien movie.
Yeah.
But also I think my favorite is Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Hey, that is an alien movie, but it's also a clown movie.
Yeah, it's a good double. Just quickly, what do you think of the design of the creature in this movie?
Oh.
Because I feel like it could be pretty contro.
Well, I like that it originally it's like so much it's a UFO. You're like,
yeah.
That's a classic yeah. flying saucer. And then the movie gradually introduces you to the insides and the texture and the yeah. bodily functions of the alien. I think it does that in a really gradual way that you go along on the ride yeah. and you're like, yeah, that's a real animal. Why not? It looks like a sea creature. Why the fuck couldn't it be it flying does. Around in the sky?
It looks more like one of those delicious mushrooms that sometimes you get in like a soup.
Oh, one of yeah.
those mushrooms that yeah. look like they look like sea creatures.
Yeah.
I reckon it would be yum if you ate it.
The alien?
Yeah.
But would you be able to do it in one mouthful?
I reckon if you cooked it long enough, yeah, I could do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Deep fried?
Well, that's a bit heavy.
Maybe I'll in a, some poach. Kind of delicious, yeah, broth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yum.
But let's not piss him off because yeah. you got to respect him, otherwise he'll come for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we both thought it was pretty great.
Yes, we did.
And it's honestly, it's just nice to go to the fucking movies and see like a big, fun horror movie.
And that is not a sequel or a reboot yes. or a remake or fucking don't get me started on Halloween Kills or whatever again.
But I will watch Halloween Ends.
Yeah, same.
100%. Like yeah. immediately. So shout out Jordan Peele. We love you. We think you're very talented.
Come on the pod.
Yeah, if you're listening, get in touch.
If you know Jordan, send this to him.
Yes, please. And if any of the listeners have suggestions for themes or a favorite alien movie that they want us to watch.
Or if you hated Nope.
If you hated Nope. Or if you've been abducted by aliens. If anyone has an alien abduction story.
Oh God, we'd love to read it out on the pod.
Please. Yeah, we'll read it out. Tell us exactly what happened to you. Relive your traumas for us. And we'll read it out and we'll give you a special shout out.
Yeah. And only a psychic reading. Only if you've
been abducted by aliens.
Yeah. If you've been abducted by humans, get out of here. But we hope you're okay.
Okay, well, you can go to @SpookyBitchGang on Instagram, SBG Podcast on Facebook, or contact@SpookyBitchGang.com.
Yeah, we don't have a .au. We're international, baby.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks for a theme. The next
episode.
Yeah.
What is the next theme? I don't think we know yet.
I think it's up in the air.
That's exciting.
Yeah. It's a surprise even for us.
I can't wait.
Okay, Spookies, we love you and we'll talk to you next time.
Do you think it'll work if I blow kisses? Oh, that's nice. All right, okay, bye.
Okay, bye.